afternoon once again, everyone. It is hour number two of the Monday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Full Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at fullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. A winter-like start to the new work week. Overcast skies, some snow flying through the air, cold temperatures. Can we expect it to stay this way for the early part of the week? Well, I'm glad you asked because we have the man with the answers from Weatherology, our meteorologist, Ray Miller. Ray, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. As you mentioned, we've had some snow already, and there is more on the way. A little area of light to moderate snowfall over western Wisconsin now, and that is moving our direction here as we head into the late afternoon and early evening hours. We'll pick up about an inch of snow through the afternoon hours with temperatures holding steady right around 30 degrees and light southeast winds. Tonight, light snow showers and flurries. Not really looking for any accumulation through the night. Low temperature around 22. Snow showers again on Tuesday with about an inch of additional snowfall. Highs in the lower 30s. Wednesday, cloudy with light snow and flurries and highs in the mid-30s. Thursday, snow showers possible again with highs in the mid-20s. And cloudy skies heading into the weekend with highs in the lower 20s, beginning on Friday and continuing into Saturday and Sunday as well. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, it does seem like if you're a fan of seeing a little sunshine, it's going to be a while, isn't it?
It really is. We're in a pattern now where we're going to have these rather weak disturbances moving through, but they're going to be moving through fairly frequently, and that'll keep the skies cloudy, keeps the temperatures cold, and keeps a little bit of snow in the forecast off and on over the next several days. So very little sunshine and very little in the way of mild temperatures.
Okay, Ray. Well, thank you for the information. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
And right now, still some light snow falls in Wausau outside our studios here on East Wausau Avenue. Temperature stands at 28 degrees. The winds are out of the east at 8 miles per hour. Wind chill factor of 20. The dew point is 23. Relative humidity of 81%. The barometer at 30.25 inches. And again, the visibility down under 2 miles, 1¾ mile visibility. So something I found out on Saturday, I was driving home Saturday night after doing the high school football game, the Newman game in the state championship. You forget how slick it can get. Just a little bit of snow. So if you're out there, remember, it takes a little bit of time in order to get used to driving in winter-like conditions. So again, take a little extra time. Be careful as we get back into that winter frame, mind frame here in mid-November. Coming up in about, 5 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Katrina Shankland, the 71st Assembly District Representative. Talk about her election win and about what to look forward to in the next session of the state legislature. Green Bay Packers yesterday, finally, huh? It'd been a while. Back to, early October? And they found a way. Was looking pretty bleak. Down by, 14 points? 28-14 after three, but the Packers able to rally. Christian Watson, a big day with 3 touchdown receptions from Aaron Rodgers. And in the end, the Packers beat Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys 31-28 in overtime. I don't know how you can't like Mike McCarthy, though. I tell you, he had a really good run as a Green Bay Packer coach. He's a real guy. And he looked like a fan to me on the sidelines yesterday because you could tell how much he wanted to win that game. When he slammed his headset in overtime after the Cowboys could not convert and gave up the football, you could see that Mike McCarthy probably wanted that game as much as any game he probably ever coached before. And you see some coaches on the sidelines that are so stoic, showing no emotion, but boy, McCarthy, he was living and dying, I thought, every play yesterday in that game. Packers now 4-6. They have a short turnaround. They play Thursday night. They are part of the Thursday night football game that's nationally on only, I think, Amazon Prime. So I think if you're here in Wausau, I think TV in Green Bay and Milwaukee, the home markets are able to cover it on TV, but otherwise you have to watch that game on Amazon Prime on Thursday. The Packers take on the Tennessee Titans at Lambeau Field. And looking at the weather later in the week, as we just heard from Ray Miller, Thursday night, the high is supposed to be 25 and the low 11. So probably in the teens, around 20 degrees. It's going to be a cold night at Lambeau. If you're one of those season ticket holders, make sure that you are layered. Make sure you're bundled up for the Packers on Thursday night. Again, a home game on Thursday against Tennessee. Packers will look to make it 2 wins in a row, but not much time to savor the W over the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. We're going to take a quick break, come back in about 2 minutes, and schedule to talk to Katrina Shankland, the state representative for the 71st Assembly District, and that's coming up next. Again, it's Monday. I'm Chad Holmes. Glad you could join us here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and again, if you got that Alexa smart speaker, just say, Alexa, find WXCO. And again, don't forget as well, download the Civic Media app. You can get Bow Falls Radio on there, plus all the other Civic Media radio stations around the state of Wisconsin. Very happy to welcome back to the program from the 71st Assembly District, Representative Katrina Shankland. And Representative, thank you again for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
First of all, I have to say congratulations last Tuesday evening. Earn another term in the state legislature. I imagine it must be gratifying to know that the work that you do for your constituents and that what the constituents see from you, that in a race that I think some Republicans and maybe some media members were saying, maybe the Republicans could come and flip a seat, to see the response you got from your constituents and not only win, but win by a larger margin than you did 2 years ago. It has to feel really gratifying because of the work you've been able to do.
Thank you. I am very grateful for the support of my constituents, and I also think it's a repudiation of the attack ads that my opponent chose to run against me repeatedly. He did the same thing in 2020, but had much more funding this time. And I chose to run a very positive, people-focused campaign that amplified the voices of the people of Portage County. And I think voters really resonated with that. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to serve another term.
And that's one of those things that you have to make a decision when you run a campaign, when you're part of the public sphere, what message you want to send out. And here, obviously, in central Wisconsin, you were able to put on a television ad I thought was very effective, talking about what you do. I mean, so often you hear political ads that don't really talk about what a person has done or what they want to do. It's just a lot of either attacking or talking generally, but talking about what your job is, and that is to serve the people in your district. I imagine that was a very specific choice that you made in order to put that message out.
It was, and I will say many people didn't necessarily agree with it in the sphere of politics, because I think so many campaigns and candidates run very cookie cutter ads, and you either choose the negative ad or the positive ad, and it's very generic, and it really, as you said, doesn't actually say anything. And I chose instead to amplify the individual stories of people across the district who are of all different political ideologies. So not only in my TV ad, but in my radio ads, my mail ads, and my digital ads, I chose to highlight different people in the way that I worked with them, and they told their stories in their own words. So in the case of Doug, who is a veteran who we featured in my TV ad, I think he was astounded at the level of support he received from people not only in Portage County but across central Wisconsin. And I've heard from so many veterans since we launched the ad who really identified with it, and I think it's made a remarkable impact on the ability for all of us to talk about our mental health, and especially as it relates to ensuring mental health care is available to everyone.
Again, we're talking to 71st Assembly Representative Katrina Shankland here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. talking about what you do in terms of work. And I imagine that after the last couple of years where you probably wanted to work more for the people of your district, with the results of the election, with Governor Evers winning re-election, with the Republicans not getting supermajorities in both houses of the state legislature, are you optimistic that we are going to see more bipartisanship in the next session of the state legislature, where there's going to be discussion, there's going to be real hearings, where there's going to be opportunities to get things done that a majority of the people of the state of Wisconsin want to get done?
I'm a perpetual optimist, and that's how I get results for my constituents, is I don't take no for an answer, and I continue to ask for people to work with me on issues that I know are popular with all of our constituents across Wisconsin. I think especially with the governor's significant win, winning by the margin that he did in Wisconsin is huge. That should show our Republican colleagues in the legislature that there really is a mandate for us to work together. And I hope that they accept that and stand ready to work with us. I'll tell you, one of the things that I do as a legislator before introducing any bill is I do reach out to my Republican colleagues in both houses and see if they'd be interested in introducing them with me. That's why I've been able to pass so many bills into law. That's not to say that it isn't challenging sometimes. In one case, I had a 6-bill package that was bipartisan last session, but not this session, because Republicans decided to target me. But I am very persistent in asking for support on policies that I know are popular with Wisconsin. So I think one example that is very clear to me, actually two examples, if I look at what Republicans campaigned on, and they basically campaigned on this via attack ads, it was essentially crime and inflation. Mm-hmm. So now it's up to them to prove that they actually care about those two things. So I would love to see them work with Democrats, work with all of us in the legislature on public safety funding. So ensuring through increased shared revenue to our municipalities that our police, fire, and EMS are fully funded without raising property taxes. And number two, inflation. They attacked Democrats and candidates all across Wisconsin and across the country on this issue, but I haven't seen a single policy introduced by them to actually manage inflation. So I would like to see a special committee to address supply chain issues and prices, especially as it relates to price gouging, in the legislature next session to address that. And since they're in the majority, it is really on them to prove it, that they were interested in both of these issues and actually managing them. But at the end of the day, I do believe that Democrats, especially the governor through his state budget process, we'll be working on these issues as well.
I'm glad you brought up the issue of shared revenue, because as that campaign continued, it felt like it gained traction during the course of the last few months, because I've been talking to folks that are part of either city councils or county boards, and that's been brought up. Then we heard the governor start to bring it up. In fact, during one of the debates, said that was one of his top priorities in a second term. When I've talked to other candidates, especially on the Democratic side, they've talked about the importance of increased shared revenue funding. And even last week after the election, I heard an interview that Robin Voss had that started talking about the possibilities of working a little bit better with Democrats and not continuing the gavel in, gavel out, and just pass bills that that would be vetoed by the governor, policy that we've seen the last couple of years. From what you've heard from Republicans, as you said, it's a lot on their plate in order to get something accomplished, as you said, because they are in the majority, and a rather significant majority. But from what you've heard, maybe the rumbles from the other side of the aisle, do you feel like shared revenue is something that can get accomplished in a significant way in the next session?
I think so. I think the governor has been very effective at saying he has a plan to increase shared revenue by, I believe, 15%. And especially given the number of referenda across the state that passed, public safety referenda to either fund police, fire, or EMS departments across the state. So people are voting to raise their own property taxes in order to fund what I would call basic government services. The foundation of local government is essentially public safety. And here we are as property taxpayers across the state seeing that in a record, I would say, I shouldn't say it's a record for sure, but it appears to be a record number of public safety referenda are passing. And if we want to keep people in their homes, especially with rising costs, the best thing that we can do is return part of the $5 billion surplus back to our local municipalities to fund basic government services like police, fire, and EMS. The governor is going to be putting that in his budget, and Republicans have an opportunity to pass it. And if they don't, then it'll really be on voters and people across Wisconsin to hold them accountable, since they continue to talk about public safety. But over the last decade, part of why municipalities are in this mess is because of Republican policies that starve municipalities over time. So we do have to fix the shared revenue funding formula, and I'm heartened that some leaders are saying on the Republican side that they're interested. Let's force this issue as much as possible. If we want to talk about keeping people in their homes, helping people manage rising costs, then one of the things we have to make sure is that we keep property taxes as flat and as affordable as possible. And I think part of that is ensuring our municipalities are well funded by using the state surplus for that.
In fact, you mentioned the number of referendum and the dollar amounts that were passed in this election in the state of Wisconsin. I remember a time where it felt like it was always very difficult to get referendums passed because, as you said, you're basically voting to raise your taxes in a sense. Were you surprised at the incredibly high percentage of these referendums that were passed? And what does that say to you beyond what you just were explaining? Do you think that is a message that the other side of the aisle will get?
That's a great point, and I think if we look at the combination of public safety referenda that have passed as well as school funding referenda that have passed, I know in the last decade the school funding referenda that have passed is a record for Wisconsin as well. It shows that people are willing to pay for the services, but it also shows that the state bears a greater responsibility to fix the broken funding formulas that are forcing these choices onto local property taxpayers. Wisconsin is one of the few states in the Midwest that disproportionately relies on property taxes for funding of schools, for example, as well as local governments. Other states have a more equitable distribution of funds so that it doesn't disproportionately rely on homeowners and renters, I should say, because really they're paying part of that property tax through their rent. And so we do need to evaluate this situation and look at how other states fund their schools, how they fund their local government, so that we are doing a better job of supporting our residents, our community members, with the rising costs and their ability to stay in their own homes, as well as funding basic government services like police, fire, and EMS, like schools. And that's something that I brought up on the campaign trail in every municipality I was in. And I didn't hear a single negative comment from people. People overwhelmingly agree with this concept, and they understand that the state is not paying its fair share. And if you look at how the state funded money, funded shared revenue in the past, when shared revenue was enacted, the state was originally supposed to return about, 90% of the funds back to the municipalities. And so clearly this model is not following that old model, and we have to find a way to make things work. I sure hope my Republican colleagues join us in that conversation.
A couple more issues I would like to talk to you about. Are you able to stick around after the break?
Sure.
We got about 60 seconds until the break. Real quickly, when listening to you talk and also taking a look at a lot of the results that we saw last week, the old saying that all politics is local, does it feel like that's even more true today than it has been in the almost 10 years that you've been in public office?
I think so. I think people want to elect individuals who they trust and who they know have their backs. And the people who are the closest to those matters tend to be the people they most trust. And so it's on state officials like me to be as present in the community as possible as well.
Outstanding. And I think you had somebody agree with you in the background there. That's always good to hear as well.
Yeah. That's my dog, Lyra.
Very nice. We're going to take a quick break for a news update and then come back with more from State Representative Katrina Shanklin. Again, she is the representative of the 71st state district. And we'll talk to her about that big surplus. What does the representative want to do with that surplus and some other issues as we continue here on this Monday afternoon? I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. We will have a news update and then come back with more here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. At Home show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Also, don't forget to go to civicmedia.us, the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and you can hear previous episodes of my show and all the other shows across the Civic Media Network. Again, we're talking to 71st State Assembly Representative Katrina Shankland. And Representative, you mentioned the big surplus that is sitting out there that the Republicans have not come to the table on during the last year or so when called to special session to talk about. I guess before we talk about what the future is with this budget surplus, what do you hope happens? I guess your plans, again, if you had that magic wand, what would you like to see happen with that?
Absolutely. I would say, first of all, we would get both parties together more often to actually speak and deliberate. It's something that I do as a legislator and want to see more of. I think when we sit down and negotiate, we actually are capable of great things. So that's how I would start. But looking at the surplus, we have currently a $4.3 billion surplus, and we're projected to have a $5.2 billion surplus by the end of fiscal year 2023. So I'm not saying we need to spend all of that money, but I am saying some of that money needs to be returned to the municipalities through shared revenue. I think that's a great start. Governor Evers also introduced a plan last month asking for a 10% tax cut for working families, and then a number of other tax credits that we have bills for in the legislature, one of which I'm very passionate about. What it does is it expands property tax relief for our veterans with disabilities and for their surviving spouses. I hear all the time from veterans about how transformational this tax credit is for them, but it is fairly exclusive right now in terms of the disability rating. So expanding that to more veterans and their families would be incredibly helpful. We also could restore the homestead tax credit to help seniors on fixed incomes. That would go a long way in keeping them in their homes as well. And then the governor also suggested cutting gas prices, capping the copay cost of insulin, which I helped introduce as a bill several sessions ago, creating a caregiver tax credit to help with caregiving costs, and then expanding the child independent care credit to help with the cost of caregiving and child care. So this proposal would really help just about everyone, from working families to seniors to veterans and their families, to people with kids struggling with the cost of child care, to caregivers. And I think that we need to be as holistic as possible as we're addressing this. I also think we need to address our public schools. We talked earlier about the increase of public school referenda over the last decade, and that really shows the need to invest upfront from the state to our school districts so that they don't have to rely on homeowners in their communities to raise their own property taxes. So I think that those are all great places to start. And part of negotiating is providing a menu of options and working with both sides to find a way forward. And I really hope Republicans come to the table and have and are willing to have a thoughtful conversation with us about this.
During the interview that I heard comments from Speaker Voss last week, it was on a conservative radio station in the Milwaukee area, he talked about education, that he sounded more open to an increase in funding for the public schools, but he would have to get universal school choice. What are your thoughts on school choice? Because obviously, as we all know that they do have the majority. How much negotiation should there be when it comes to school choice and the idea of dollars going from public to private schools, or just generally that question?
Mm-hmm. Well, we as a state simply cannot afford to fund two parallel school systems, one of which we are constitutionally obligated to fund and the other of which we are not. And I think if we were to get the cost estimate of the speaker's proposal, it would be shocking to taxpayers how much it would cost to fund. One of the bills that I strongly support is the taxpayer transparency bill for voucher schools, so people know exactly how much taxpayer money, their dollars, are going from their public school into private schools. I do think it's an issue that not enough people know about. And if we were able to pass that law, and I should say some school districts have passed individual policies for their school district, so on their tax bill, people will see how much money of their taxes is going directly into private schools. I think it would lead to a greater awareness that we truly cannot afford to fund both systems. If you look at the special education reimbursement rate in Wisconsin, we are not fulfilling our duties to all of our kids in the state. And the governor has tried twice now in both of his budgets to fund that special education reimbursement rate to get it up to 50%. And I know there are so many parents and kids across the state who are desperate for their kids to have the best possible quality education. And in my opinion, the state is not meeting its most basic needs to every child who's in our public schools. And that, under the federal law, is our obligation, and it is our constitutional duty, and the speaker needs to recognize that. Secondly, I would also point out that private schools are not required to follow IDEA, the federal law requiring that all kids get what they need within public schools. And because there is not the same accountability as public schools, I have significant concerns about providing even more taxpayer money, knowing that our kids in public schools are not being, their needs are not being fulfilled at the same rate that they could if we were to fully fund public education at the needs that I just mentioned, whether it's special education, whether it's mental health services, whether it's counselors, school nurses, you name it. There are social workers, there are more needs than there are fulfillments of those needs from the state, and the state needs to address that.
It's kind of similar, isn't it, as the issue with the shared revenue? Education has been shortchanged for quite a while. We're way behind because of what happened in the Walker administration, and this is now an opportunity, isn't it, with this surplus to try to get closer to being back on track with the education funding?
It absolutely is, especially as it relates to ensuring that the money we're putting into public schools is sustained over time, not just one-off. A lot of school district leaders will tell you that they have stayed afloat throughout the last couple years because of the federal relief dollars, federal pandemic relief dollars, but those expire very soon and they're going to be hurting. And school districts are looking across the state at additional referenda unless we as a state address this. We can't afford for these school districts to have to lay off staff or to have to cut services because the federal pandemic relief money went out when the state has a record surplus and is projected to have $5.2 billion at the end of next year.
Again, we're talking to Katrina Shanklin, the 71st State Assembly Representative here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. When you were going over, you know, your ideas in terms of spending the money or using the money in terms of the surplus, it made me realize just how much is out there that can be done, that so much can be done, and we have not taken the time in the last, 9-10 months to take advantage of that, to discuss all this. And the thing about it as well, you're still working. You're still, even though you haven't been in session, you wanted to mention a program that you're involved with. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So this October, a new state program launched to help people with private wells that are contaminated. I've been working on this issue for the past 7 years. I had a constituent first reach out to me a while ago sharing her story about how the state's well compensation grant program didn't actually work. And so I was striving for a long time to pass legislation in the legislature to fix it. And while it's come up short, you know, I've passed a bill through both houses, but in different sessions. What I'm really grateful for is I approached the governor and the DNR about this, and they launched the new program using federal dollars. So the state has a new supplementary program to help people repair, replace, or treat their private contaminated wells. And the DNR just had a webinar on it. You can go on the DNR's website, just type in well compensation grant program into Google. It'll lead you there. But I want people to know that if they have a household income of $100,000 or less, and a private contaminated well, they would be eligible for a full reimbursement of the cost of treatment or a new private well. And so I have already had several constituents get the reimbursement and have their application successfully go through, which I'm thrilled about. I know that not only should we be working on remediation, but also prevention in the future, which I'm leading on in the legislature. But in the meantime, I want people to be aware that if they have a nitrate issue, for example, if their wells are testing above 10 parts per million, they have the ability to get a new well or a treatment system in their household. And I should also mention that that includes businesses. So if you're a restaurant owner in a rural community or a daycare center or a church or a tavern and your well is contaminated, you also may be eligible if your business income is below $100,000. So I'm very excited to see the work that I've been doing in the legislature pay off with this new program. And I'm committed in the legislature to pass a bill to expand access to the state's program in the future as well.
When you, I'm going to ask this question because I don't know what the answer would be, but when you talked about how you went to the governor because this bill was not passed, when folks you talk to who weren't supporting it and helping you get it passed, what do they say? Because it seems like such a common sense way of helping some folks that need it with the well contamination and getting some compensation back. What do you hear? Is it so much right now that's all political where even some common sense stuff gets caught in the crossfire?
I think people are honestly used to hearing it because for so long we've seen action from one house and not the other. For example, this bill was part of a package of water quality bills we passed unanimously through the state assembly in the 2019-2020 session. And the state Senate chose during COVID to not come back in and to not have a session virtually to address this issue among 100 other plus bills that the assembly passed. And so we had to start over this session and we got it through the Senate, but then not through the assembly, which is extremely frustrating to know that Republicans and the majority in the assembly chose not to pass it or to even call for a vote for a full floor vote, knowing that we passed it unanimously through the committee, but also unanimously through the full assembly 2 years ago. So unfortunately, when I tell people this story, they're not that surprised because they've seen obstruction and they've seen just, I would say, a general laissez-faire or even just lackadaisical attitude toward issues of high importance and urgency like water quality. But that's why I'm so committed to continuing to fight for water quality and action on it, regardless of if it's PFAS, nitrate, lead, or other contaminants. We know that across the state, people aren't able to drink water from their taps, and they deserve to be able to. So I'm going to continue working on it.
And before we wrap it up, I'm going to ask you maybe a question you don't want to answer, but I'm going to throw it out there anyways. After a very impressive victory in the election last week in an area of the state where Democrats don't win by 15 points very often. You look at the map, there's a lot of red and there's a little blue around Stevens Point. Your party lost the 3rd Congressional District. You've been holding that seat for a while and you live in that 3rd Congressional District. Have you ever thought of running for Congress? Is that something that's on your radar?
It's on my radar because I have had constituents encourage me to run. What I'll say is this, Wisconsin needs more Democrats who are able to represent rural Wisconsin and who understand rural voters. And part of understanding rural voters is listening first and being willing to set aside what some people might say is the consultancies from D.C. who get to run these big campaigns. And I think when we have authenticity and genuine interest in the people of Central Wisconsin, you get election results like what we had on Tuesday. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my relationship with my constituents. And I will at least, you know, when urged or asked to consider, at least look at it. But I, for now, I'm very focused on representing the 7th first and serving the good people of Central Wisconsin. So thank you for the kind words.
Absolutely. Well, Representative Katrina Shanklin, again, it's really interesting to talk about all these issues that are going on. And I got to say, it's exciting now that the election is over, that the governor gets reelected, that perhaps the Republicans will be more willing to come to the table and the possibilities of getting much more done. So I think as we move into the future, hopefully get you back on very soon and talk maybe about more opportunities coming up next year.
Absolutely. That sounds great. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Again, Representative Katrina Shanklin joining us here on the program. More to come on WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Bozeny head football coach Paul Novinsky and myself each Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 a.m., online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Each week, we will preview and review all the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. We'll be joined by one of our area high school football head coaches and also a special student athlete guest as well. Plus, the kind of in-depth analysis you won't get anywhere else on the area conferences, teams, and a whole bunch more. Join Paul Novinsky and myself, Chad Holmes, each Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Katrina Shanklin, the 71st state representative from Stevens Point in Portage County, for joining us on the program. And lots of issues discussed with the state representative. And I think, for the first time, I am getting a little optimistic that some good things can be done in the next session of the state legislature. For the last couple of years, so many times you get frustrated. You talk a lot about when the Republicans would come in for these special sessions, gavel in, gavel out, gavel in, gavel out. Don't do anything about significant issues, whether it is the budget surplus, whether it is the 1849 abortion ban, whether it was COVID before that. Again, the frustration, because there was a sense that the Republicans were waiting to try and get Tony Evers out of office, to have a governor that would rubber stamp anything that came through Robin Voss, the state assembly, and the state senate. Well, now with Tony Evers getting reelected, there feels like there is a different tone coming from Robin Voss and other Republicans, that they are going to be willing to talk. And the thing about it, they should be willing to talk. They still have big majorities when it comes to both the state assembly and the state senate. And we are very fortunate, I think, in this state that the Republicans did not get that two-thirds majority in the state assembly to join the two-thirds majority in the state senate in order to override any governor vetoes from Tony Evers. Because that's not good government. If it was reversed... If there was a Republican governor and Democrats in control of the state legislature, it wouldn't be good, I don't think, to have that override ability for the Democrats. Because you have to be able, in this system, and if you look at American history, it's a flow between conservatives and liberals being in control of the government. It's not been a case where you've had one or the other for decade after decade after decade. And unfortunately, it feels like a lot of the Republicans are trying to stack the courts and then stack the congressional lines and the state legislative lines in order to have a permanent majority. That's not the way it works in this country. And that's why the upcoming Supreme Court election in April, and I know we're 6 days after the last election, that the last thing you want to hear about is the next election. But the spring election, which will include a state Supreme Court justice, is going to be a very important election, and people cannot tune out. There is an opportunity if a liberal wins that state Supreme Court election that they could overturn the state lines right now that are so gerrymandered that give a 50-50 state a two-thirds majority in the state Senate and nearly a two-thirds majority in the state assembly to one party over the other. So, again, it's a very significant election. But beyond all that, going back to my original point, that there is really an opportunity, I think, for the parties to come together now that the Republicans know they have to deal with Tony Evers for the next 4 years. They can't just try and wait it out. There are too many issues that need to be discussed. And that was one of the interesting things hearing from Katrina Shankland is that you have so many different issues that do have, I think, bipartisan majorities. That the Republicans can take credit for some of this good stuff. That the Democrats can take credit for some of the good stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see that whether or not Robin Voss, who is really the state legislative leader, Senator LeMathieu is the Republican leader on the Senate side, but it seems like Robin Voss has been the one that's been, you know, the conductor of the GOP train over the last number of years. So in that interview, we talked about it last week, that interview that Robin Voss had on conservative radio in Milwaukee opened the door a little bit to some discussion. It's not going to be easy negotiations when he talks about education, where he says, yeah, I'm willing to give the governor some more education money, but only if universal school choice becomes possible. Well, the money isn't there for that. The money is not there to have more money going to one, going to public schools and then more money going as well to the private schools. I mean, like Katrina Shankland said, you can't be funding two separate education systems. So, but the door finally has been opened where maybe the Republicans are going to show up to work because they haven't shown up to work very much in the last year or so. I do think it's going to be interesting to watch, and I would encourage everybody to watch very closely what happens in the state legislature when the new session begins after the start of the new year. Hopefully, they use a lot of that surplus for shared revenue and education, and you know there's going to be some tax cuts because that's what Republicans do, right? They're going to push through some tax cuts, and we'll have to deal with it because the Democrats don't have the power to stop everything. So again, negotiations, get a little, give a little, and hopefully some good things happen in the end. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Chad Holmes Show. Glad you could join me here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Thanks again to Katrina Shankland for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow again from 2 till 4. Stick around. We got CBS News at the top of the hour. And then it is the Devil's Advocates coming up from 4 till 6. Have a great rest of your afternoon and keep it right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.